Hey, you guys, it's Tomes of Terror time again. Time to talk about another book. Now, I know that I said, probably on the TBR show, that I was going to have a longer gap between books by a single author because I wanted to, you know, give a whole bunch of different authors a chance. Well, I'm about to break that rule. Sorry about that. I think this book was actually on my 2021 TBR, so at least I'm getting back to that. This is another book by the wonderful, wonderful Grady Hendrix, and this is My Best Friend's Exorcism from 2016. Now, before I take this book away, if you are watching this on video, just take a moment to appreciate the fucking awesomeness, the radness of this fucking cover. Look at it. It looks like an old VHS tape. And look, the back of it does too. Oh, I love it. I mentioned before, because I also reviewed Grady Hendrix's other book from 2014, which was called Horror Store, and that one was designed to look exactly like an IKEA catalog. And I think I mentioned on that there are a few things in life that I love more than the meeting of form and function, I guess you would say. So it was, I really like that thematic kind of thing where it's like the bulk of the story and everything is like tied in with what the book looks like. So I really like formatted books like that. So I really, really love that Grady Hendrix really seems to love to do that shit as much as me. Now, this is the paperback edition. I will say the hardback edition is actually pretty cute too, because that is made to look like a high school yearbook. And on the inside covers, I don't have it, but I've seen like pictures of it. On the inside covers, all the characters have like written, it was like it was written in the yearbook, and like some of it's kind of laid out like a yearbook, and it is super, super cute. I don't like the cover of that one as much, but I really like that they also formatted that one, and they did like a totally different format for both, for both paperback and hardback. I haven't seen what the Kindle version looks like, so maybe they've done that in a different way. But yeah, I just fucking love that. And like I said, when I did Horror Store, I showed that too, because I love like the whole thematic shit going together like that. So as I said, now before I get too much into it, I've been reading a lot of Grady Hendrix lately. Like I read Horror Store and I reviewed that one a while back. While I was on vacation a week or two ago, I also read his nonfiction book, and I'm probably not going to do a review of it just because it's nonfiction and I kind of wanted to stick to fiction on this one, but I do really highly, highly recommend it if you're into 70s and 80s horror, particularly, literary horror, paperback horror rather, horror books. He wrote this book called Paperbacks from Hell, and it's totally illustrated. It's got all these, it's beautiful, full color, all kind of stuff in there. And he just went through it. It's like the illustrated history of 70s and 80s paperback horror. And it is delightful. I read the whole thing when I was on vacation, when I was like back in the room resting. And it's just so, so fun. So I recommend this one as well. So like I said, that's nonfiction. But let's get back to my best friend's exorcism. I had seen like a whole bunch of reviews of this. I've seen some, I've seen like a couple of reviews that were kind of like meh, didn't get it, but it's like most of the reviews are just like rapturously adoring, and I totally get it. I fucking loved this book. This book is one of those things where it was like it's almost like it was particularly calculated like for my exact demographic. The characters in this book, because it's set in the 80s, and the characters in this book are pretty much exactly the same age as me. So they were the same age as me in the same year, in the 80s, as this book is set. So every single thing in here that these two girls go through, I could totally, totally relate to it, because it's just they did all the same shit that we did when we were kids. It's just like all the references in here are so, so awesome. And it just like really, really took me back to that time period and like reminded me of some shit I'd forgotten about. So it was just like really, really cool in that regard. So as you may have guessed from the title, My Best Friend's Exorcism, this is about demon possession. But that's really not all it is. Honestly, I've seen this book called Heathers Meets the Exorcist or Stranger Things Meets the Exorcist or something like that, which is, kind of close, but that's a little bit reductive. I've also seen it called a YA novel. I'm not sure if I would go that far. I can see why some people maybe got that perception, because it is set, in the 1980s with characters that are, you know, from it's from like the 6 years between them being like in third or fourth grade to them being like teenagers. So the characters are young, but some pretty fucked up shit happens in this like later on. So I don't know. I don't know. I'm sure like teenagers would probably get a lot out of reading this, particularly. But like I said, if you grew up in the 80s or if you know anything about 80s culture, I'm sure it will really like resonate with you because I remembered every single thing like in this video. It was just like amazing. So this tells the story of two young girls, Abby and Gretchen, and they live in this town in South Carolina. Now, Abby is, she's like the main character, and she's kind of from a more like working class kind of background, whereas Gretchen and a lot of the other kids that she goes to school with are quite wealthy, you know, upper middle class or upper class. But she ends up going to the same private school as them later because she gets a scholarship because she's really smart. Now, the book actually starts, it's interesting because it kind of starts, there's a little bit of a prologue in the present day when Abby is talking from being in her, you know, in her 40s or 50s or whatever, and talking about seeing a news story that the exorcist has died. And that kind of like kicks off a flashback of her talking about you know, the summer that her best friend got possessed by the devil. You know, we've all been there. So after that, like the flashback actually starts in 1982 and Abby is 10 years old. And there is an incident where she wants all of the kids to come to her birthday party at the skating rink. And I loved that because I said, I think that my 10th birthday was also at a skating rink, which I thought was like really, really funny. I was like, oh my God, I think that totally was. I could, maybe my 9th, maybe my 11th. I can't really remember. But I totally had one of those two birthdays at a skating rink. So I totally like, I got into the whole thing. And a lot of the songs that were playing and shit like that, it was just like so, so funny. But it turns out that after she's invited everybody to the class to her birthday party, then this kind of rich bitch kid, Margaret, she invites everybody in the class to her house to go horseback riding. And obviously nobody shows up at Abby's party, except for one person named Gretchen. Now Gretchen, nobody really, I guess she's kind of like just moved there. She's new. And like a lot of people don't know her. They think she's weird. So Abby is at first like horrified that this weird girl is the only person that has showed up at her party. And she's super humiliated. And then it's even worse when Gretchen gives her like a children's Bible for a present, even though her party is very explicitly E.T. themed. And she just wanted all E.T. shit because she was super, super, super into E.T. because that was the year that came out in 1982, if you didn't know. But it so happens that after there's, you know, there's a big misunderstanding. Abby has like a little, you know, 10-year-old girl nervous breakdown or whatever. But it turns out Gretchen was like, look, I don't want to give you the Bible. I wanted to give you some cool E.T. shit. My mom made me do this. And it turns out that they have like a really lot of stuff in common. They both love E.T. They both love the same kind of shit. So there's a moment where they just become like best friends. So I like that they kind of, Grady Hendrix starts it where the girls met because their friendship is really the heart of this novel. Because even though this is a horror novel, you know, and like I said, some pretty gross shit like happens later on, especially like once the exorcism starts kind of kicking off. At its, this is a really, I don't know. It's kind of hard to say. It's really in the way that if you like Stranger Things or like nostalgia kind of themed stuff like that, where horrific shit happens, but at the core of it is just this love between friends, and it makes it really resonant. And to be honest with you, I'm not entirely sure how old Grady Hendrix is. He doesn't look all that old to me. But I will say that the characters of Abby and Gretchen in this, I don't remember if I've ever read a more accurate or heartfelt, or it just like, it really kind of resonated these, the girls' friendships, like how they thought, you know, what they thought about, and from that time period too. And if he did not grow up in that time period, and he's obviously not a teenage girl, I have to say he fucking nailed it. I mean, he exactly knew like what they were, how they talked, like what they were talking, how they thought, you know, just the way that their friendships developed and stuff like that. And it was just like eerily, I mean, I really did feel like I was reading about two actual people, which is not always the case. But what I think that's really good because that really, really gets you invested in these characters. And like I said, this is another horror, and it doesn't happen that often. This is another horror novel where the end of it, I don't think I'm going to spoil the end, but the end of it really kind of, I didn't cry, but it did kind of make me tear up some because it's like a very bittersweet it's not a sad ending necessarily, but it's a very like bittersweet kind of ending and a real kind of like, I don't know, there's just something really about it. So like I said, largely this book, yes, it's soaked in 80s nostalgia. All of the chapters are named after 80s songs, you know, like And She Was, or It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine, or something like that, that has to do with what happens in the chapter. And there's all of that, and it does take place in the 80s, but it's not like overly done. It's almost like it was really, I don't know if I want to say it was, feels like it was really written back then, but like I said, he got everything about the time period, which I remember quite vividly. He got everything so accurate that it's not like you're reading something that was written nowadays that was, you know, by someone that maybe didn't live through it, you know, if that makes any sense. But it really did see, it really does immerse you like in that world, exactly what it was like and everything like that, especially if you were a teenage girl. And like I said, I could kind of relate to the situation, like Abby's situation, you know, being kind of on the lower end of the economic spectrum, but being friends with people that had a lot more money than you, and, you know, that whole dynamic, and going to a school where everyone was much more wealthy than you. And, you know, so there was that whole thing as well. It was kind of a religious school, but that doesn't play that much into it. So I couldn't relate to that because I didn't go to a religious school, but you know what I mean. So from the time they meet in 1982, Abby and Gretchen are just like inseparable best friends. They hang out at each other's houses all the time, you know, and everything like that. So after that, they kind of establish how deep their friendship is, how abiding their friendship is. And then they skip ahead to when they're about 16 or they're in high school. Now, by this time, they've kind of gotten a little bit more popular. They have a couple other friends, Margaret, who was the bitchy girl from the beginning that, you know, invited everybody to her horse party and like made nobody come to Abby's party. So they made friends with her later. And then there's another girl named Glee. So the four of them hang out together. They all have their own kind of personalities and stuff. But then there is an incident one summer when they're all staying, I think at Margaret's parents' beach house, or one of their parents' beach. I think it's Margaret's parents' beach house. So they're staying up there one summer, and they decide that they're going to try LSD. Now, they get some from somewhere, like they steal it from someplace. I don't remember. Like, I don't remember the exact thing. It's not really that important. But so they end up taking some. Gretchen is really, really scared to take it because she's seen, you know, some of the scaremongering fucking shows that they did back then. That was just like, you do LSD once and like, you're gonna be fucked up forever, like Sid Barrett, you know what I mean? So it was that kind of thing. I also want to say too, that this really works set in the 80s because there was the whole satanic panic going on in the background and like all this stuff about satanic cults and everything. And I think that really like is really good because it informs the whole story and how you could see how people like believed all these urban legends and shit like that. And they'd talk to it. It's like, you guys, I saw it on Geraldo. It's true. And you know what I mean? So there's all that kind of stuff going on too. So they take this LSD, and the main three girls, like, you know, Abby and Margaret and Glee, it doesn't really seem to do much of anything. So maybe it was like some weak shit or whatever. But Gretchen, she takes it and then she kind of like runs off, and then they can't find her like for a really long time. And they're like looking in the woods and they're freaking out because they don't know if she like had a bad trip and she took off someplace and they don't know where she is. So the next morning, though, they find her. She comes out of the woods and she's like all naked and streaked with gore. And she doesn't really remember, not gore, but mud. And she doesn't really remember what happened. So, you know, they don't get caught. They kind of cover that whole shit up. But then Gretchen starts very slowly to change. She kind of starts acting weird. She can't remember things. She starts not taking care of her personal hygiene. She starts acting real weird toward her friends, like being really irritable, really bitchy toward them, and all this other kind of stuff. And so there's all this kind of like interpersonal drama going on between her and the friends. And then she starts doing like really fucked up shit, like, you know, trying to steal the other one's boyfriend and like getting people drunk that aren't supposed to be drinking and all this other kind of stuff. So it kind of like keeps escalating and escalating. And at some point, everyone's just kind of like, you know, fuck her. She's just getting like, you know, she's a druggie now or something like that. She's like acting, we don't want to hang out with her anymore. But Abby, because Abby is her best friend, she knows that something really serious has to be going on, and she is bound to determine to find out what it is. Now, at first, she kind of thinks, you know, oh, maybe it's drugs, or maybe her, you know, someone's abusing her, or something like that. And then it comes out that, or at least she thinks that maybe she was raped when she was out in the woods, and now she's kind of acting out. But she really wants to get to the bottom of it. But then it turns out that probably, Gretchen is possessed by a demon. At which point, Abby, like I said, this is her best friend and she loves her more than anything. So she is just going to figure out how to fix this. And it's really, it's so good and it's so poignant because, and I can remember this from being a teenager too, and especially like you're a teenage girl, Abby really tries. I mean, she's just 16, like 15 or 16. She doesn't really know that much about the world or anything. So her attempts to like try to help Gretchen by, you know, telling teachers, telling her parents, telling somebody, like trying to get somebody to help her, to help Gretchen, and how no one believes her, or they turn things around and make it her fault, or something like that. And it's just this horrifying, it just really like kind of broke my heart like the whole time, because this, you're really kind of get into this little girl's character, and her just like desperately trying to help her best friend, and not really knowing what to do, and said, oh, well, you know, I have to go to an authority figure and they'll help me and stuff like that. And then just they're no help at all because they just don't believe her. Like I said, oh, you did it. You gave her the drugs and, you know, get out and all this other kind of stuff. She gets in trouble for doing all the shit that she didn't do. And this just like fucking crazy escalation happens. Finally, in desperation, she reaches out to this really like cheesy ass group that comes to their school, like for an assembly. It's just kind of like it's. And I remember when this happened, we didn't have this happen because, like I said, this was religious school stuff, but I remember hearing about it from people I knew that went to religious schools. They used to have these kind of assemblies that would go, you'd go to the assembly and then it would be like a group that was trying to get people like into Jesus and, you know, not do drugs and everything. But then they would have some kind of gimmick. You know what I mean? So the gimmick in this one was they're all weightlifters. So they would come out and do all these weightlifting feats. You know what I mean? Like they would break cement blocks and all this other kind of stuff. And then they'd be like, Jesus, let me do that. All this other kind of stuff. So now because one of the guys, one of the weightlifters, looks at Gretchen and says, I see your demon. So Abby said, well, he must be the real thing. So she ends up like after, you know, going through exhausting every other like possibility, she goes to him and says, you know, I'm pretty sure she's possessed by a demon and we need to help her. And so that's kind of, you know, that kind of kicks off the third act of the book, like when he comes to help her get, you know, get exorcised and get the demon out. So that's probably, like I said, I'm not going to spoil the end or anything, but keep in mind, this is kind of like, I think Grady Hendrix described it as Beaches meets The Exorcist, which is accurate. Although I think Beaches, I haven't seen that in a very long time, but I think that was kind of like older women, right? Like female friendship stuff. This is more like, and then I see it's called Heathers, which is kind of accurate too, but it's not quite as Heathers or Mean Girls. There is a little bit of that, but so there is a lot in there about the power of female friendships and also kind of the power of, you know, female enemies, like what they can do to one another. They're kind of like psychological warfare against one another. So a lot of the book is like that. And then just very, very slowly are these kind of supernatural elements introduced. And then when that happens, there's some pretty gross shit in that, particularly one part that I'm thinking of with Margaret, where once Gretchen gets possessed, she starts just fucking with her friends just to be an asshole because she's a demon now. And she starts giving Margaret, who is a little bit overweight, I guess, and she starts giving her these diet pills that her mom had, and they turn out to have like tapeworms in them. So that's a really, really, that's a really special scene when that kind of whole thing comes to a head. So yeah, it's pretty gross. So there's some really gross shit. So I will say that it does get kind of gory and there's like really gross, like squicky shit in there like that. A dog does get killed. So in a pretty, man, that scene was kind of hard for me to read. Yeah, so that's in there too, so be warned. So it's not so much, it's a fun book, you know, and it's, like I said, it's very 80s nostalgia. It's, if you like Stranger Things, you'll probably be into it. And it's very much about their friendship and all this other stuff, but there is some pretty gross and pretty dark shit in there as well. The only criticism I've seen of it was some people didn't like the ending. Either they thought the ending was too abrupt or they thought that it was too sad or something like that. Some of the people that, you know, that was their one criticism didn't seem to like the ending. But I honestly, I actually quite liked the ending. I liked the way it tied up. I kind of feel like there wasn't really any other way it could have tied up, you know, and I liked that it kind of took a long view because, like I said, it's not so much a frame story in the sense that you know, because at the very beginning, Abby is kind of like, you know, it's present day and she's reflecting back on all this stuff that happened back in 1988. So it doesn't really go a lot into Abby in the present day. But it does, at the end of it, like after the whole exorcism thing is resolved and after everything happens, it happens, they do kind of like, he does kind of like cast ahead to show like what their, you know, the remainder of the lives were like. And I actually really liked that because, like I said, it made it really poignant because the whole point of this book, the whole heart of this book is these two girls' enduring friendship and how strong it was and how, you know, they would do anything for one another. And I think that was like, that really made this book maybe like a cut above like a lot of horror because it really emotionally got to you because these characters were so vividly drawn and, you know, you really, you know, felt a lot for them. So like when bad shit happened to them, you felt really bad because they seemed like real people. Fucking props to Grady Hendrix for writing something that was not only funny and horrific and really, really entertaining and page turning, but also something that was just really heartfelt, you know what I mean? Which is difficult to do. And I feel like a lot of horror doesn't do that. More of it should, I think. But, you know, so I think that was probably my favorite part about this book. Even if there wasn't like demon possession or anything like that, I would still think this was an amazing book just because the character work was so, so great. And just the friendship at the heart of it was just so, it was just so well done. And I just really, really dug it a lot. So if you really like 80s nostalgia, if you really like demon possession stuff, if you really like horror comedy, if you like anything from the 80s, I don't think you necessarily have to like the 80s, but it really does help, you know, get into the vibe of this book. If you grew up in the 80s or if you knew a lot about 80s, like I've seen a lot of 80s horror movies and stuff like that, then I think you will really, really dig this. I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. I really loved the formatting of it. I just really loved the cover. I just loved everything about it. And I had a fucking blast reading this book. I think I might have liked this story-wise. I think I might have liked this a little bit better than Horror Store. Like, I loved Horror Store also. But this one was just so much, it just brought back so many memories for me. Because like I said, the characters in this were 16 in 1988, which is about the same age as I was in 1988. So I really related to all of the shit that they went through when they were kids because I was the same age as that. Like, it's the same age as them in the book. So it really, like, kind of hit a sweet spot for me with all the 80s music and everything like that. So if you're into that kind of stuff, if you like, you know, kind of funny horror, but also kind of heartfelt, like, kind of sweet horror, I think you will really be into this as well. Keep in mind, like I said, there is some gore, there is, like, some squicky parts, and something bad does happen to a dog. So if that's gonna bother you, then, you know, maybe avoid. But other than that, I just really, really recommend it. I had a fucking great time reading it, and it's super fun. And yeah, I just really, really loved it. And also, if you like that, also check out Paperbacks from Hell, his nonfiction book, which I think came out a little bit before that, maybe 2014, 2015, somewhere around there. It's just a really, really fun coffee table book, and it's written really funny as well, and it's really entertaining. And he talks about, like, all the paperback horror that came out back then, that was, a lot of it was batshit crazy, and it's super fun, and he has all the covers in there. It's just really, really cool. All right, so that will do it for this Tomes of Terror, and I will see you guys on the next one. Bye.